Let's read together this evening the Word of God at Psalm 145. Psalm 145. The verse that we will consider tonight is verse 15. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Let's read together Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that are bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. But all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So far we read the inspired word of God. Again, it's verse 15 that we meditate upon this evening. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are gathered together tonight, obviously, for our annual Prayer Day worship service. This is a worship service that allows us to meditate upon for a few minutes who God is as the Creator of all things, and especially as who God is as the Sustainer of all things. God is the one who not only created you and me, but He promises in His love for His people to provide all things that they need as it relates to their bodies. That's the focus of the sermon this evening. That's the focus of Prayer Day. The focus is on our physical needs and God's work to provide those needs that we have. It's in light of that that we call upon God's name in prayer. It is, after all, called Prayer Day. And the prayer is especially for that, recognizing who God is as the sovereign God and as the sustainer of us in our life here on this earth. What we do as believers is not trust in ourselves, not look to other men, but we look to God and we wait upon His name, trusting that He will provide us with all things that we need. In light of the purpose of Prayer Day, Psalm 145, verse 15 is an appropriate passage for us to consider. It talks about, at the end of the passage, God giving meat in due season. That addresses the fact that this worship service has to do with our physical needs. And then at the beginning of the passage, it talks about the eyes of all waiting upon the Lord. And that addresses the other aspect of this day, namely the fact that we are called to pray to the Lord, asking that He will provide us with all that we need. We'll see that there are different ways to look at this verse, but that's the focus that we are going to take. That this, in a special way to us this evening, applies to us. That we, in our eyes of faith, look to God. We pray to Him and trust that He will give us our meat in due season. We use as our theme tonight, waiting on our faithful provider. Waiting on our faithful provider. Three sections of the sermon will be the following. First, we'll look at that meat spoken of in the passage that God gives in due time. And then we'll look at the fact that it is for those who wait upon the Lord. And then we'll see in the last place that the response that we must have is one of praise. We begin, however, by talking about that praise. Psalm 145 is a psalm of praise. That is the purpose of the psalm. That this is the purpose of the psalm is evident from the title that is above the psalm, as well as the first verse. The title of the psalm, not inspired but accurate, is this: David's Psalm of Praise. And then we read in the first verse, this sets the entire theme for Psalm 145, "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever." So the entire psalm has to do with the believer's calling to praise the name of God. And in these opening verses of the psalm, we learn about the nature of that praise. It is to be a praise, as we learn in verse 2, that is to be every day. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. We don't offer this praise spoken of in Psalm 145 just on the Lord's Day. We don't offer this praise just on these types of days where we come together as a congregation for worship. We don't offer this praise just on the days in which good things happen to us, when we receive things, in the context of the sermon tonight, when our needs are provided for in a special way. The psalmist says in this passage, "I will praise thee every day." The nature of this praise, furthermore, according to Psalm 145, is a praise that continues from generation to generation. Notice that in verse 4. "One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts." God has worked in such a way that there is always a remnant here on this earth that loves Him, that can take upon their lips the words of Psalm 145. And so not only from day to day must God be praised in this way, but from generation to generation, God is praised. And we learn about the nature of this praise from what we read in, for example, in verse 7, that this praise is that which must abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. Literally, what we read there is that this praise must gush forth out of our being. You get that sense when you read Psalm 145, that this was arising from the very depth of the heart of David. It was gushing forth out of him. If we praise the Lord as we're called to in this way, that will be the nature of this praise. So the entire psalm is about praising God. And interspersed throughout the psalm are reasons that we are to praise the Lord in this way that we just talked about. And there are all sorts of reasons. They all fall under that category of God being the King. As we read in verse 1, "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and bless thy name forever and ever." But look at what God does according to Psalm 145. That gives us the reason to offer this praise to Him. He is the God, according to verse 8, that is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. That speaks to our greatest need, does it not? That speaks to the greatest need that we have regarding our sins that we commit against the living God and the holy God. But this is who our God is. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. He's compassionate. And He's merciful. He forgives us. And He is all of those things. He's gracious, merciful, compassionate, and slow to anger in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the basis of the cross on which He shed His life for you and me. What a reason, beloved, to praise the Lord spoken of in Psalm 145. Furthermore, we praise the Lord, for example, and I'm just picking a few out of what we read in this passage, because of the kingdom. That's an emphasis in Psalm 145. The King is extolled, and He is the King of His kingdom. And look at that kingdom as we read of it in this psalm. Verse 13, "Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations." Beloved, that's the kingdom of which you and I are members by that grace and mercy and compassion of God. It's not a kingdom like the kingdom of this earth. The kingdoms of this earth come and they fall, and they are replaced by another kingdom. The kingdom of God and its dominion is steadfast. It's forever. We experience it now in our hearts, in our love for God and God's love for us and life in the church of Jesus Christ. But then to think that this kingdom will endure forever and we will be citizens of this kingdom forever. That grace and mercy and compassion of God in Christ never faileth now and into all eternity. And we praise the Lord because of what we read, for example, in verse 14. He cares for us. In this way, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that are bowed down. We've all had those times of feeling as though we have fallen, times of great difficulty and burden, times when we don't feel like we can get up, times when we feel like we can't press on anymore. But what does the King do for us? What does God do for us? He raises us up. And He gives us strength to press on in our life here on this earth. It makes you think, for example, of what Isaiah says at the end of that beautiful 40th chapter in his book. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Similar themes to Psalm 145. He's the Creator, and we are to wait on Him. All of that, beloved, is said in order to lead up to this, that when we come to our passage in Psalm 145, verse 15, what we have here is further reason to give the praise that is due to God's name spoken of in this chapter. This is also why we praise the Lord. The Lord is the one who does this. "The eyes of all wait upon Him, and He gives them their meat in due season." We see that God is the God who provides for us in our physical needs. And that's the focus of the sermon tonight, and that's the focus of prayer day. We need to see the second half of the text first, what that means, especially that meat. "Thou givest them meat in due season." Prayer day, as I said in the introduction, is all about our physical needs, and that's what that meat is speaking of in this text. Understand that prayer day and Thanksgiving day are bookends. At the beginning of the planting season, we come together for prayer day. We anticipate that season. We're not directly related to it anymore. Indirectly, we are. But we anticipate that. And we come together at this time, anticipating the planting of the crops in the coming months. We pray to God. We ask that God would bless them. But then at the end of that, the harvest season, we have Thanksgiving Day. Then we look back. And there on Thanksgiving Day, we give thanks for what God has provided in this past year. But the text talks about those physical provisions when it uses the word meat. Meat there is a reference to the things of this earth. God has created us in such a way that we need to eat. We are of this earth. God has created us in such a way that if we do not eat, we will not live. We don't have to go very long without eating, and our life would be taken. Regarding what we need for our physical bodies, God says in this text that He will give us meat. And so this applies first and foremost to the fact that God will provide us with what we need to eat. It's the actual meat, but also all of the other food that we need to eat for our existence. But it's broader than that. And we understand that from the Lord's Prayer, for example, when God said, "This is how you are to pray. Give us this day our daily bread." The bread there represents not only our food, but also all of the things that we need for our body. And the same idea is here in this passage. There are many things that we need, especially at this time. The past couple of weeks have been bitterly cold. It doesn't take very long being outside shoveling the driveway when you realize we need shelter. Exposed skin for not very long, and you realize how bitterly cold it is outside. And that is what we need. We need at this time shelter from that cold, and we need the ability to heat our homes, especially for our very young children that we have. All of that is encompassed in this idea of meat. The value of this passage is that it teaches us that God gives that meat. God does. And that's what we need to emphasize tonight, and that's where our hearts need to be directed this evening. Beloved, we understand our earthly nature and how drawn to this earth we are. And we understand how often we need to be reminded of this very truth. That it is not my employer, it is not what I do, but it is God that provides my meat. We lose sight of this because we're not as directly related to the farming industry as our forefathers were. But you can imagine being in your home, on your farm, and looking out your windows and seeing your fields. And you look at those fields and you recognize that that is my earthly existence. How this goes in the coming months out there in that field determines how well I will be cared for in this coming year. And you look out at those fields and you realize that it is altogether out of my control. Yes, I need to put the work in. I need to prepare the soil. I need to plant the seed. I need to take care of the crops throughout the year. When you're in that position, you realize it is not in the end me, but it is God. It is what God will do in this coming year. It is God sending the sunshine. It is God sending the rain. It is God working as God sovereignly and wisely works so that when the seed is planted, something grows. All of it is God. And when you think about that, it's profound. When you think even about the science and the biology that goes behind the growing of things. You see the amazing wisdom of God, how He creates everything in such a way that life comes forth. The proper amount of sun and rain and nutrients and the soil and all of the rest harmoniously working together so that the crops grow and the food is provided. But the point is, it's God that gives meat, gives food in due season. And though we're not as directly related to that, as Christians, we need to be cognizant of that. That it is just as much true for us in our earthly circumstances of what you need in your life. The due season is the season as it has been sovereignly and wisely appointed by God. And here too, how much do we need to be reminded of that? We need to be reminded of that regularly. Because part of our sinful nature is such that we go through our lives and we think that this is what I need And this is what I need right now. For us, it becomes very practical when we look at our computer screen and we look at our budget and we look at our bills and we look at what we need. We look at that and we can say, this is what I need. This is what I need right now in this month. And this is what I'm going to need in the coming months and in the coming years. Anticipating, for example, children going to school and tuition. But we can be very earthly minded about it, thinking that we know what we need. Now that doesn't mean we're not wise and we don't exercise forethought and exercise stewardship. We need to be very careful that we still maintain the prayer of our Lord that we only need our daily bread. God knows exactly what you need at exactly the right time. You may think that in the coming months, you need that raise, thinking maybe it's on the horizon in light of how long you've worked at your current job. You may look at everything that you need to pay and say, I need that raise in the coming months. And if I don't get that raise, my needs are not going to be provided for as I need them to be. And then it doesn't come. And then you need to remember a passage like this. In due season, in God's appointed time, He gives the meat that we need. He does that for all those that wait upon Him. Admittedly, there are different interpretations of who is referred to here in this passage. That's the question. Who is the one whose eyes wait upon the Lord? The other interpretation, and that would have influenced how we interpreted the second half of the passage, is to say that this is a reference to all of the animals in the creation. The many different species of animals that, with their eyes, look upon the Lord and God provides their meat in due season. Now that certainly is a truth of the Scriptures. Many places in the Bible speak of God providing for all of the needs of the creation. That's part of the amazing work of God to provide for everything in this earth. The animals are provided for not because they know what to do, but God in His wisdom has made them in such a way that they are provided for in all of their needs. That's a very biblical truth. Luke 12, for example, very well-known passage, one that ultimately looks at that truth of God providing for the creation and applies it to God's providing for us. Luke 12, 22 through 30. And He said to His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for neither they sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. So certainly a truth of the Scriptures, and there's a reason that some interpret it in that way, and the reason is what we have in verse 16. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. So there in verse 16, it applies this very idea to all the creatures of this earth. I prefer to look at this passage as a unit, these two verses going together. The former, in light of how we interpreted it, that God provides for men, men who look upon Him. And then in verse 16, it broadens it out, and we see this
even greater truth of God, that not only does He provide for men, but He provides for the entire creation. The eyes of all wait upon Thee. We can apply that to you and me this evening. We must wait upon the Lord and trust that He will provide us with this meat in due season. And that flows also from what we have in verse 14. The Lord upholdeth all they that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. And then those same referred to in verse 14, wait upon Thee, and He gives them meat in due season. The eyes of all wait. The eyes of all, in other words, steadfastly look upon Jehovah. It's the eyes of faith, beloved. It's our eyes of faith that see our God as this God of Psalm 145. Animals look on Him in a certain sense. They don't know it, but God has created them in such a way that in their eyes, they don't realize this, but they're dependent upon that God for this meat. But they're not rational and they're not moral. You and I are. And not only are we men, but we are God's children. So that when we look at a passage like this, we see tremendous significance to it. Our eyes look upon the Lord, and we see Him as the Lord. That's who's referred to in verse 14. The Lord upholdeth. And then the eyes of all wait upon Thee. The Lord there is Jehovah. Beloved, that's what we need to do tonight on a prayer day service. With our eyes of faith, we need to look to Jehovah. And that makes all the difference as it relates to the meat that we receive in due season. If we, with our eyes of faith, are looking on Jehovah, we will be content and we will be at peace and we will confidently believe that God is giving our meat in due season. We know this Jehovah. We know Him as our God and as our Father for Jesus' sake. We know Him as the one who loves us in Jesus. We know Him as the one who forgives all of our sins on the basis of the blood of Christ. We know Him as the one who therefore will do no evil to us, but only good, continually good for us as it relates to our souls and as we need to see tonight as it relates to our bodies. When we have our eyes steadfastly looking upon Jehovah, it puts into perspective the meat that He provides us in due season. We will always be confident that God is providing us exactly what we need when we need it. He's Jehovah, and He knows what we need best. He loves us in Jesus. Imagine taking your eyes off of that Jehovah, as we can be tempted to do at times, even for length of times as it relates to these things. If we go a few months in our lives, especially when things are difficult as it relates to the needs of our body, without our eyes on Jehovah and His love for us in Jesus, what will our attitude be? Our attitude will be very different. Then we're going to be frustrated. Then we're going to be bitter. Then we're going to cling to this idea that I know what I need right now. Then we're going to look at our neighbor who has a lot more than I do and be envious. And we're certainly not going to have that peace. And we're not going to be content. But with our eyes steadfastly looking on our loving God Jehovah, we're confident day by day, whatever the future holds, that God will provide us with our meat in due season. And that's the connection to prayer day. How do we look upon Him? How do we wait upon Him, steadfastly gazing at Him? We pray to Him. Day by day, we pray to Him. We pray to Him for all of our needs of our souls, the forgiveness of our sins, but pray to Him, as we have done tonight as a congregation, for the needs of our body as well. confident day by day of His loving care over us. And may that lead us to praise Him. That's the purpose of Psalm 145. For this reason, as it relates to your life day by day, praise the Lord. Remember the nature of that praise as I laid it out very early in the sermon. It's a praise that must be every day. Every day, beloved, we think about God and the for you and your family, which is evident at times to our children as they grow up. Teach them praise. We praise God this day for what He has given to us, and we trust in Him in the days to come. And let it be a genuine praise, a praise, as verse 7 says, that is abundantly uttered, a praise that gushes forth from the depth of our beings. On this prayer day, we praise God. We praise God for His provision of us. We praise God for His loving care day by day. And remember this too, that we praise Him in the very prayers that we offer. We pray to Him asking that He will care for us. But we pray to Him as well, praising Him for His care for us. May God so work that praise in our hearts and confidence in His loving care for us day by day. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we pray now that Thou wilt bless this word, and may it take root in our hearts, and may we by faith believe it, that Thou art a loving God who cares for all of our needs day by day. We pray to Thee, and we trust in Thee alone for that which we need. Forgive our sins, dismiss us with Thy blessing, we pray, and bring us home safely, for Jesus' sake. Amen.